listening to the Isaka Podcast. I'm your host, Safia Kazi, and in this From Page to Podcast series episode, I'm joined by Karen Walsh and Joe Rashke. Karen and Joe wrote a two-part Isaka Journal Volume 5 article about how sustainable development principles could apply to digital transformation. Our interview with Karen and Joe is going to be split into two separate episodes. In this first installment, we're going to be discussing cyber sustainability and how it applies to digital transformation. So to begin, what led you to link sustainability with digital transformation? And how does environmental theory apply to the digital ecosystem?
Well, I started my working career doing environmental claims back in the late 1990s. And as part of that, we always talked about dirty dirt, leakage, et cetera. And the more I started working in cybersecurity, the more I realized a lot of the same terminology was used. We call things data ecosystems. We refer to data environments, IT environments. And I started thinking we really need to do something to protect our data, especially for the future. And so I started taking a look into environmental theory, and the more I looked at it, the more I realized even though that applies to the physical environment, a lot of the same things can be said for the digital environment. So that's kind of where I came into it.
For me, it's kind of been brewing for a number of years. We've always been trying to figure out how do you make information technology, security, and identity really be sustainable aspects of technology, and how do we enable businesses? But there's never been a really good way to put this together in a cohesive fashion that makes sense from a sustainable development capability across an organization. A lot of times, like an old axiom that we'd use is, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But we really find when you go to the cloud in these hybrid worlds that you really have these different kind of organic type issues that come up for sustainability, that you've defined a playing field. But what's happening on the playing field changes on an ongoing basis.
And to follow up on that, I think you made a really good point, is the idea that if we're building technologies today that are transforming our future, we need to think more, I guess, futuristically or more proactively about how we create them, how we manage them. The World Economic Forum, I think it is, has a whole section on sustainability, and they include digital information as part of the concept of going forward and creating sustainable architectures and Industry 4.0. And I think that we're seeing a new industrial revolution. I think we have to do now for information what we didn't do when we first started creating factories, who have led to some of the pollution we see. So I think, even though it's in a different realm, a lot of what we're seeing is really similar. And a lot of the things that caused our current physical environmental problems are going to cause digital environmental problems going forward. So
that's what we also see. I mean, I see it as well, really, from that you start building a system, and then we've been so focused on just the outcome of what we're producing, we don't look at those side effects of what's happening. A lot of times in cybersecurity with data breaches, it's extra copies of data that were just left laying around. It's the scraps on the side, the copy of someone's email that they put a password into an email. And also there's a lot of situations where you've got that junk or this unseen outcomes that come out of what you were trying to accomplish up front.
And so for our listeners, can you define the term cyber sustainability? And how might environmental sustainability definitions apply to cyber sustainability?
Yes, that's a great question, because what I see is that in the environmental context, sustainability focuses on economic value, healthy ecosystems, and building community. And so when we transfer that to the concept of cyber sustainability, I define it using those three tenets. We have digital identities, whether professional or personal, whether human or digital. They all define our business operations and lifestyles. So we have to think of information as a resource. So to preserve data in the same way, you need to have economic viability. You can't sustain your business model after a data breach. There's too many high costs. You have customer churn. You have legal costs. You have fix-up costs. You have identity tracking costs. tests, all of those things. So in order to be successful long-term economically, you have to treat data like a resource. A data breach from one member in your supply chain impacts both up and downstream, just like in the environment. And we need to build communities. We need to build communities of information security professionals, business professionals, and make sure that everyone, whether it's a business or personal perspective, is thinking strategically about digital transformation and how to collaborate. So it's really the same concepts: economic stability, healthy ecosystems, and building community.
Right. I would add on to building community, really with company cultures as well, that you've got to be able to plan out in that ecosystem the ability for risk that you enter on the business side of this, that when you're developing new products for the market to do this digital transformation, there are situations where there will be failures, so that you really need to be able to build that community and understand what are the different outcomes that can actually happen. The more companies that have had products that have failed, sometimes the failed products have actually been better holistically for the company.
That's an interesting example of, you know, failed products being good for the company. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and why organizations might want to think about being okay with products occasionally failing?
The one that I've seen that always stands out is the older story of 3M and Post-it notes. They were defining something that was going to be a glue that's working on Post-it notes, and they didn't stick very well. And somebody said, wait a second, this is exactly what we need. And that became one of the major product lines for 3M. That, and inside of that, that's one issue of somebody that didn't quite succeed, but the company was able to turn it around to say, yeah, actually, there's other things, there's other uses for this. And they weren't built on a culture of trying to make somebody pay for a mistake. Another example would be Microsoft and their cultural change over the last few years. We've seen of how they're trying to innovate, how they're trying to go from an on-premise type company into more of a cloud-based company. And they've really changed their company culture, that when they do have different situations, there's one a couple of years ago with some engineers that had issues with voice automation. I don't know if that's the right way to call that, but they had a situation where, what do they do when the RPA or the bot in the cloud starts talking and echoing back what it hears in an online conversation, and it kind of goes askew? And at that point, they stopped the exercise, but internally, they didn't ostracize the people that were running that project. They just knew that the project did not go right, and they need to be able to move on and fix what their problems were. And that's really building that community in cyber sustainability. You need to be able to focus that technology is not going to be the be-it-all answer, that you've got to have more components to it, people, process, and technology in that sustainability.
And I think to follow up on that, even if we're thinking in terms of information security as well, the responsible reporting guidelines, you know, when you find something that is a vulnerability, that's a weakness. That's in some cases clearly a failure. But we're responsible about how we report them so that we don't make those failures worse. And there's ethics surrounding how you report them. You know, do you report it on the internet, on Twitter? Hi, I'm a you know, ethical hacker, and look, I found this vulnerability. Everybody has to go post things. Or do you report it to the company first? And that's also building that community. You report it in a way that's ethical. You report it in a way that is going to keep the ecosystem healthy, so that nobody else who's using that product or using that vendor can be exploited just because you found something. And ultimately, that leads back to the economic stability, in that the company doesn't need to go bankrupt. So we do have some of these things in place, I feel. I just don't know if they are as accepted as a whole, because we're still sort of at the beginning of this whole industrial revolution, if you think about it.
What are complex adaptive systems, and how might they apply to digital transformation?
Complex adaptive systems was actually the first chunk of environmental sustainability resources and research that really struck me. They talk about several key components. There's six basic tenets: self-organization, emergence, co-evolution, path dependence, feedback loops. All of those things can be applicable to technology. And in fact, I think most technologists use those things. For example, self-organization talks about interactions and interrelationships within an ecosystem. While we create digital tools for collaboration and we integrate multiple applications within a cloud, hybrid, on-premises ecosystem. So again, we're using the same terminology, we're doing the same things, we're just doing it in a slightly different space. Emergence is the idea of new patterns and ideas arising from interactions and interconnections and interdependencies. The same thing is true of big data, interconnected applications, robotic process automation, which is what Joe was talking about a few minutes ago in terms of bots. All of these things show us patterns. They bring out new information. They show us how to evolve what we're doing, which is part of co-evolution. Co-evolution is one of the things where I thought, and I'm like, this is security. This is technology. It's dynamic and continuously changing adaptation. And that is what we are doing, especially in the identity space. We have totally new types of identities that need to be monitored and governed. We have new ways we promote ourselves in digital spaces. And so there needs to be that flexibility and scalability that allows an organization to adapt its policies. Task dependence is the idea that changes are tied to systems and history. And we see that again, we've moved from role-based access controls being the gold standard and the best practice to attribute based access controls. And again, attribute-based access controls certainly involve adaptation and evolution. They change, they're dynamic. What you need in, you know, your shared corporate drive is going to be different depending on who it is, what they need it for. Are you able to scale how people access information within your ecosystem so that they can get what they need to do their job while also not getting too much? And then there's the concept of feedback loops, which is the idea of continuous monitoring, documenting, and assurance processes. You can't just set it and forget it, not in today's world. So I think as we're talking about compliance and we're talking about security and we're talking about evolution of threats, we are really talking about the concept of data and data ecosystems and infrastructures being complex adaptive systems.
Yeah, I would really echo that feedback loop. I mean, feedback is always known. The cliche is feedback is a gift. In that, when you start seeing and you're talking with the business leaders about what we're doing in these digital transformations, that comes back to becoming more and more important in every one of our engagements that we've had. They're really saying, what did this project accomplish? What did it not accomplish? And inevitably, if you have that good dialogue between the business and technology and audit, you really come back with some better solutions and say, no, if we're doing things that don't make sense, stop doing them. And ecologically, I think if something doesn't work, it goes away. At that point, we've got to be able to implement that to go really from an age of controls and compliance into more of this continuous monitoring to say, really, what happens? How do we evolve? And like the co-evolution point is bang on.
And the concept is moving from compliance first to security first, across the board, no matter where your perimeter is, it has to be a focus on security and privacy first. Privacy and security by design, if you want to, you know, half quote the GDPR.
Thanks, Karen and Joe. And that's all we have time for in this episode of the podcast. But be sure to subscribe to the ISACA podcast to hear the second part of our conversation with Karen and Joe, in which we discuss how COVID-2019 can be applied to digital transformation.